beloved friends, greetings in the precious name of our beloved Savior, the one who loved us and the one who died to save us. We welcome you to the broadcast today. We continue the blessed theme concerning the person of our Savior, and particularly his atoning death, the consideration of this week's series of messages. We have noticed some blessed facts that we must confess are based upon the authority of the Word of God. That is, death was foretold in the Old Testament from the beginning to the end, both by types and shadows, and also in the prophetic word. What a joy to realize the death of the Son of God was so greatly emphasized, both in the types and offerings of the Old Testament, together with the prophecies the servants of God gave utterance to. We have also noted the emphasis of his death in the New Testament is very prominent. And we have also particularly noted in our closing theme of the preceding message that the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world, the purpose of his incarnation, becoming flesh, the chief purpose. Yes, we know that he has done many other things by it, but the chief purpose was to come to this world to die. Did not the beloved Apostle Paul write, Christ Jesus came into the world, what for? To save sinners. Yes, the incarnation and the death of the Lord Jesus was no afterthought. Neither was it accidental. He came particularly to do what the Father had sent him to accomplish for your redemption and for mine. For it was a means to an end that the Son of God took upon him humanity, that by that end, the death of the cross, he could redeem lost sinners through his atoning work. Now we come to a fourth fact, very important relative to the death of Christ. His death is a fundamental theme of the gospel. It's not the only theme. We know the resurrection is included, but his death is a fundamental theme of the gospel. May I read the words that may be very familiar from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'd like to begin reading at verse 1, going down, if I may, through verse 4. Paul, writing by the Holy Spirit and writing to his beloved believers at Corinth, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, meaning the good news which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, and this is his declaration of the gospel, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How? That Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now let me reemphasize the principle that we are bringing before our hearts, that the death of Christ is a fundamental theme of the gospel. Note the apostle's words in the declaration of it, how that Christ died for our sins. First, you note, concerns the person of Christ. Second, it concerns not his life, but particularly his death. Christ died, and then you've got the reason for it, for our sins. And then you've got the proof that it was according to the Scriptures. Now please let me reflect with you. Have we not touched upon the Old Testament Scriptures? And a few in the New Testament Gospel, relative to the fact the death of Christ was foretold, whether in type, whether in prophecy, and even from his own blessed lips, when in the Gospels we read of his life upon the earth, telling his disciples how that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be killed, and then the third day be raised from the dead. Now, Paul says, when Christ died for our sins, 'twas according to the Scriptures. And, beloved, one recognizes, how can you leave the death of Christ out of the gospel? The good news of salvation. The good news. For it implies we need not die for our sins. Can I note the words with you? Christ died for, not his own, for our sins. My beloved friend listening, do you have any sins? I know you do. I know I do. Do you believe Christ died for them? I do. Thank God I have trusted him, believed him, that he died for me. Again, we raise the premise of our question upon which we're basing these messages. What think ye of Christ? And I ask the question directly of my listener. Do you believe the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for your sins? In substance, can you say, I believe with all my heart on the authority of the testimony of God's Word, Christ, God's Son, died for my sins? Well, did Paul, as we quoted it before, we do it again. Well, did the apostle say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for who? Me. Beloved, what think you of Christ? Oh, may I state very carefully, the death of the Lord Jesus is very important. He alone could die for our sins. The law could never save you. The law could only demand what you should be and what you should do. And you fail that. The blessed Sermon upon the Mount could not save you. The example of our Lord Jesus in his life of holiness, as you read it in the Gospels, cannot save you. All that the law can do, and all that the law does, and all that the Sermon on the Mount will do, and the example of our Savior's holy, sinless, spotless life, can only show to you and me what sinners we are. What we should be, he shows by his life. But also, it reveals what we are. But the law, the Sermon on the Mount, the example of the life of the Lord Jesus, precious as they are, truthful as they may be, they don't give you the remedy for your sins. The remedy for our sins is found only in the death of Jesus Christ. And this is a fundamental theme of the gospel, if you please. Oh, do I need to repeat it? But can I not challenge on the authority of God's word, his word, and say a fifth fact about his death? It is very essential to Christianity and all of its truth. Take away the death of the Lord Jesus, and what do you have? You don't have a good news of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. That's the good news. I cannot understand except the darkness and the blindness of unbelief in some who deny the necessity of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please may I say, relative to the claims of Christianity according to their claims found in the Word of God, his death is very essential. Now, may I point out something? You take all other religions. They do not base their claim to recognition on anything but what their leaders teach. You can name them all, but none of them, the founders of all the cults and religions that may exist apart from Christianity, that show to you and to me their teachings are founded upon the death of their leaders. May I give the thought? Do I need to? The doctrine of Christianity is distinguished from all of other doctrines by the importance it assigns to the death of Christ, its founder. Take away the death of Christ, you reduce Christianity to the level of all other religions. There was a great parliament of religions at the World's Fair in 1903, I believe. Joseph Cook, a preacher of the gospel, was given the privilege and responsibility of representing Christianity. And he had to listen, and he listened very carefully to all the religious leaders that gave their claims before him. And then after they had finished, he stood up. He recited from Macbeth, Shakespeare's story of Macbeth, the story of that conscience-stricken woman, guilty of murder, crying, out, 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 damned spot. The conscience bearing down upon her guilt of murder. She could not erase it. And then he went on to say, I have listened to all your theories and all your claims of your religion, but I have never heard one of you say what Christianity can say. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My beloved, you take out the blood of Christ from the preaching of the gospel, there is no redemption. Redemption is by blood from the beginning to the end. The death of Christ is essential, not only the fundamental theme of the gospel, but an essential fact for Christianity to claim. And we claim it. My beloved, again, let's bring the question to focus. What do you think of Christ? Is he your Savior? My beloved, God grant that you've never thought of him, the pre-existent Son of God, the incarnate Son of God made flesh, and now as we consider his great atoning work, please, is he your Savior? Will you not receive him now if never you've done before? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God's power, use the precious truth for the conviction and salvation of many souls, as well as the blessing of believers in Jesus' name. Amen.